Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. Tonight we continue in our series, God's Eternal Plan for Global Missions. Our endeavor in this series is to show us that God has a heart for the nations. I didn't mention it last week, but I'll mention it now that the plan or the purpose of the series is to get you to think about the purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is to join God in His eternal plan for global missions. The purpose of your life is to join God on His mission of redemption of the nations. It is for that reason that you're still on the earth. Whether you are walking in righteousness, you walking in righteousness in obedience to God, is you showing the world that God is the Lord, that God is God. You walking in obedience to His word is a proclamation that there is a God and He lives in you. You sharing the gospel is then pointing people to this God that they can be saved. And so to talk about God's eternal plan for global missions, I want to ask the question, as you've heard the gospel being proclaimed to us from Thursday to this morning, what are you doing with the message of Jesus? When was the last time you shared the gospel? I'm not talking about when was the last time you spoke about God. I'm not talking about when was the last time you spoke about the things of God. I'm talking about when last did you speak to somebody about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For that, my friends, is the gospel. And so as we go in this series, I want us to see that from Adam and Eve now to Abraham, next week we'll see in the church, and then we'll see in eternity, God's plan has always been to bring the nations together, and the reason why you're still on the earth is for that purpose. And so last week we saw God's heart for the nations in the creation's mandate. Even in the midst of man's failures, the plans of God for the nations remain. We saw that God is the one who created every tribe and every language and the people and the nations. We also will see in this series that God's desire was and is to ransom all peoples for Himself. The question we look to answer tonight is how? How does God intend to bring the nations together? We saw last week that God had caused the people to fill the earth. As they scattered in confusion and as they took residence in different parts of the earth, they were multiplying. But we have a problem. As the people of God, as His image bearers were filling the earth, they were filling the earth as image bearers who were not worshiping God, nor were they walking in obedience to His commands as He had intended in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And so the question tonight is, how does God intend to have the whole earth worshiping Him and living in obedience to His commands? And so, friends, I don't have an outline on the screen tonight, so please forgive me. My sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. Amen. But I do have a title, and my title tonight is, "In You, All the Families of the Earth Shall Be Blessed." In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Won't you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12? Genesis chapter 12. How does God intend to have the whole earth worshiping Him and living in obedience to His commands? Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 reads, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let's go to God again in prayer. And so, God, now as we come to the preaching of your word, we ask that the Spirit of God would so work in our hearts that, Lord, we would understand that which is written in your word. I pray, God, even as I preach here tonight, that you give me clarity of thought and you give me strength by your Spirit to preach the word of God with conviction. Help me to preach with truth, Lord, that which I believe is true. I pray that you challenge us here tonight. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to not be nonchalant when it comes to the preaching of Christ. Help us, Lord, not to be casual when it comes to this seed that we have been given to steward. May we not be like, Lord, that servant who took the talent and he buried it in the ground. But God, help us to take that talent and multiply it, Lord. May we bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. We pray that we would see a great yield from the harvest in our midst. Lord, use us for your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you could summarize scripture as creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, then Genesis chapter 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 11 will deal with creation and the fall. In fact, those four categories have one missing. If you look at the scriptures deal with creation, the fall, redemption, renewal, and restoration. Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 11, as we saw last week, we saw creation and we saw the fall of man. And from Genesis chapter 12, we see God's plan of redemption finally unfolding. We'll then see from chapter 12 of Genesis to Jude, we'll see redemption and renewal. And then if you read Revelation, you'll see something of restoration. In Genesis chapter 12, I want you to see that this is a pivotal point in God's plan for redemption. The story of Abraham is critical to us understanding how God's plan to save humanity unfolds. In Genesis chapter 12, we see something of the heartbeat of God's plan for the nations. A commentator says chapter 12 of Genesis screams grace and eternal life in a world that deserves destruction. What I want you to see in this passage is God has always been intentional when it comes to our salvation. God has always intended to save the nations, and God, in fact, is a missional God. He was missional in the beginning, and he is missional now. So the first thing I want you to see is the call of Abraham in verse 1. Consider verse 1 with me. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." At this point, we don't know much about Abraham, but what is revealed in Genesis chapter 11. And so once you look at Genesis chapter 11 from verse 27, it says, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren, she had no child." Verse 31. "Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." You don't see much in that story, but in this story, there is a huge plot twist. In this story, there is a twist in the narrative. If we didn't have Genesis chapter 6, where God destroys the world with a flood, then this would be another Genesis chapter 6, because again, the world at this point was deserving to be destroyed. We have again a people who are created by God, who have drifted away from God in idolatry. And now we have Abram, who is married to Sarai, who can't even fulfill the creation mandate because Sarai can't have children. In the creation, we saw God created everything and it was good, good, and very good. But now we are starting to see a pattern of not good. If you read Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, it says, Joshua said to all people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor," and listen to this, "and they served other gods." Abraham comes from a family that did not worship God. You've probably heard it before, but Abraham is said to be a pagan who is called to be the father of the people of God. Friends, there's something there of the gospel story in the story of Abraham. We see something of God using the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God would use a man born of fathers who served and worshipped other gods, and he would consecrate him for his own purpose. God would take you who was born a sinner, who is probably maybe now you're living in your sin, and he will convict you of your sin. He will set you apart for himself for his purpose in reaching the nations with the gospel. That is the gospel story. Friends, the gospel story is that God saves undeserving sinners to make them worthy of his service. God calls a people out of darkness to make a name for himself amongst the nations. And so have you ever asked yourself the question, why you? Maybe you're the only believer in your family. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why you? Maybe in your friend group, you're the only one who's pursuing after Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why you? Or maybe you look at your constant mistakes and you look at the times where you find yourself falling into sin and you ask the question, God, why me? Why would you choose to use me for your kingdom? On paper, it could be argued that, God, there are better candidates that you could use besides me. Why choose me as your vehicle of grace? Well, we'll see later in the story that God continues to use a fallen people whom he has saved to show the world that he is Jehovah who saves. God says to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." The call of Abraham is really a call for him to leave everything that he knows. It is a call for him to leave his country, to leave his friends and family, to leave even his religion and follow God. John Calvin, I love these words. He summarized God's interaction with Abraham as God saying to him, listen to this, "Just close your eyes and take my hand. Just close your eyes and take my hand and come to the land which I will show you." It's worth pausing for a moment to consider the faith of Abraham. In verse 1, we see that God calls Abraham to go. In verse 4, we see that he went. And the New Testament helps us to further interpret the faith of Abraham. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says this, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the land that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Friends, God was doing something new, and Abraham would be the father of this plan. He didn't know how. He didn't know where, but Abraham knew the who. He knew the God that was calling him, and he believed in this God, and this belief would be counted to him as righteousness. We see in Romans chapter 4. What we see, friends, in the calling of Abraham is God's effective call of man to ministry. God calling a Gentile and making from him a holy people for himself. If you read the book of Galatians, you are introduced again to Abraham. The Judaizers in Galatians would falsely use Abraham as a proof of their heresy. They said that Abraham was one who had faith plus works. They say, Abraham, look at Abraham. He believed God and he was circumcised. And yet, Abraham's faith was a faith, that it was his faith alone, that justified him before God. Abraham's circumcision came from faith and wasn't a circumcision to faith. So then, who are those who belong to Abraham? But before we get there, I want to pause for a moment. As you read this story, you've probably heard the story of Abraham many times. You've heard of God setting Abraham aside for the mission that he has called him to. But what I don't want you to miss here is in Genesis chapter 12, God was setting the scene for world missions. Salvation, as we're going to note in Genesis chapter 12, has always been by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Abraham here, his obedience to God was one from faith alone in God alone. This Gentile, who'd be the father of the Jews, was pulled out of his comfort zone. He was sent to a foreign land to create a people who would be light through faith. As you sit here tonight, are you open to the call of God? As you sit here tonight, are you open to God almost wrenching you out of your comfort zone? God calling you out of your comfort zone? God pulling you out, as it were, of your comfort zone and sending you to a place that you do not know? Go to a place where I will show you, God says. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing that God rips you out of whatever it is that you're doing right now, however important you think it is? Are you at the place where you would obey God if he called you now to drop everything and leave? Go to a place that I will show you for my name's sake. As you sit here tonight, has God called you? Has God placed you in a place where you can be a witness for him? Friends, God will raise missionaries from among us, but we won't have to look for those missionaries on the walls, or we don't have to look for those missionaries far away. Those missionaries are sitting right here. The question is, are you listening for the call of God in your own heart, where maybe engineering, maybe law, maybe education, maybe whatever it is that you're doing is not for you, but God is saying, I'm going to set you aside for missions and missions only. God is raising a people. Will you go? But friends, God is not only raising a people to go to foreign lands, but God is also raising a people to go to cities. If God calls you now to go to a different city, will you go? God is raising people to be missionaries in their schools. He's raising people to be missionaries on their campus. As God convicts you, will you go? Will you preach Christ in your school? Will you preach Christ on the campus? Will you preach Christ in the city so that the gospel of Jesus Christ would fill our land? God is raising up a people who will worship him. God is raising up a people who will obey his commands, that the nations who watch us would know that he is God. Oh, saints, will you close your eyes tonight and take hold of his hand and say, God, take me where you go, I will go. Second thing I want us to see is the covenant with Abraham, verses 2 and 3. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you a great name, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This covenant is repeated to Isaac and is repeated as well to Jacob. Jacob would be the father of 12 sons who would be the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. God's focus at this point was squared onto the nation Israel. The offspring of Abraham, the offspring of Isaac and Jacob would be inhabitants of the promised land that God had promised to Abraham, which is the land of Canaan. Unlike those in the Tower of Babel, God in this passage was about to make for himself a great nation in the nation Israel. He would make this great nation through an Abraham who could have no children. God would make from him a great nation so that all the world would know that he is God and Jehovah saves. God would minister to the Jews for the Gentiles. We need to see that God's mission to Israel was on behalf of the nations. I will bless you and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. God would bless Abraham and he would make his name great. He had great possessions. Abraham even died at a good old age as God had promised to him. And so God had fulfilled that. For Abraham personally, God had given him a great name. In fact, even today, Abraham himself was greatly blessed. We know Abraham to still be a key figure of the top three religions in our world today. He's a key figure for Christians. He's a key figure for the Islamist, and is a key figure even for the Jews. His name was great among the people for what God had promised to him and the benefits of those promises. But God would bless his descendants and make them a great nation. Listen, he says he would bless those who bless them, and those who dishonored them he would curse. But why? The mission of God to Israel was always to bring the gospel to the world. Through his providence, him leading them to Egypt, through their release from Egypt, through their obedience to the law, through the altars that they built, through the tabernacles, through the temple, through the prophets, through the kings, God was showing the world, through the nation Israel, that he desires that his people worship him and live in obedience to him. God would bless the nation Israel for the sake of the nations. Friends, God desires that his people praise him. God desires that his name be great in all the earth. God desires that all creation bows in submission to his will. And so he would use the nation Israel that all the world would know that he is God. I've got a few examples for you here. If you have a pen, just jot them down. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. "But I will raise you up for this very purpose. I will raise you up, Israel, for this very purpose, that I will show you my power," and listen to this, "that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. "Observe them, my law, carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations." What other nation is so great as to have their gods near to them the way the Lord is near to us? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 to 12. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." Isaiah 49, verse 6. "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 22. "It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name. Then the nations, verse 23, will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. Two more. Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 60. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. Friends, my point tonight is that Israel was chosen to be a light to the nations, serving as a means through which God's salvation would reach the world. Keller said, "The mission to the Gentiles is not a new plan, but the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel." Piper argues that God's mission to the Gentiles is rooted in his covenant promises to Israel. He writes, "God's plan to bless the nations through Israel is the foundation of the Great Commission." And so, friends, as you read the Old Testament, see something of God's plan to save the nations. As you read the New Testament, don't get caught up in the noise of Israel versus the church, the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. Yes, these things matter, but don't get caught up in the noise, for the point is that God used the nation Israel as a vehicle of the gospel. They squandered their privilege, as Paul says, and now God is using the church as his mouthpiece and his light in the world. God's plan for the nations is unfolding in the life of the church and in your obedience to the Great Commission to make disciples of all the earth. And so to close, some implications. I asked the question in the beginning and I'm going to ask it again at the end. How does God intend to have the whole earth worshiping him and living in obedience to his commands? 2 points. One, through the nation Israel. As I mentioned in our text, the nation Israel was God's mouthpiece. They were the church of their age. They had the priests, they had the temple, they had the word, and yet they kept on rejecting God for idols. Time and time again, they would rebel against God in lawlessness, and they gave themselves as whores to other gods. The nation Israel would then be driven out of the promised land as an act of discipline by God for their immorality. They are wondering now, as sojourners, is God is using them in foreign lands to suffer well. God is using the nation Israel in foreign lands to be light as they wait in hope for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and restore them to the land. They await the risen king, as Peter calls them to. He says, wait for Jesus, preparing your mind for action. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he has called you, he who has called you is holy, ye also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is Peter's challenge to the Jews who are in exile. I want to encourage us tonight that Peter's challenge to the Jews who are in exile stands for us as pilgrims who are on this earth waiting to return home to heaven. Peter was challenging the believing Jews to prepare their minds. He challenged them to be sober-minded, to set their hope on the revelation of Jesus, not conforming to the passions of this former ignorance, being holy as God who called them is holy. They were to conduct themselves with fear during their exile. They were to know that they were ransomed from the futile ways they inherited from their idolatrous, immoral fathers, to be believers in God so that their faith and hope are in God. You know the book of Peter. Peter would go on in that letter and write about suffering that they were about to experience. The people of God, the nation Israel, was still and are still witnesses of God through their suffering as exiles. As the remnant remains, God continues to make a name for himself through the people that he made through the patriarch Abraham. His promise still stands, for great is his faithfulness. How does God intend to have the whole earth worshiping him and living in obedience to his commands? My last point. He intends to do this in Jesus' fulfillment of the covenant to Abraham. It says, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This weekend was all about the fulfillment of this promise of God to Abraham. This promise to Abraham and to the nation Israel found its fulfillment in Jesus. He is the ultimate blessing to all nations, bringing salvation and reconciliation to all men. Through Jesus, all the families of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles, are blessed. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. And so if you have a moment, sometime this week or maybe this month, won't you take a colored pencil and go through the book of Matthew? As you go through the book of Matthew, won't you circle every time it says the word fulfill? And there you will see something of the intentionality of God to fulfill his promises through Jesus Christ. The New Testament is the Old Testament concealed. The Old is the New Testament revealed. So friends, the mission to the Gentiles is not a new plan, but the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham to bless all the nations through his offspring. The question is, the gospel is as old as Genesis chapter 12. Will you go? Will you go as a servant used by God outside of your comfort zone to preach that the blessing of the nations has arrived? His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, even as I've preached this sermon, Lord, my heart's desire is that the peoples would praise you. God, my heart's desire is that all the peoples would be glad as they come to know you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would return your image bearers to the worship of your name. We ask that you'd return your people to the obedience of your word through faith in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we know that salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ, but we read in the beginning of the service, how will they know unless somebody preaches? God, this room is filled with people who believe. This room is filled with people who are stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I ask, use us. Lord, use us as instruments of the gospel. Use us as vessels in your hands for redemption. Lord, give us beautiful feet that spread the gospel of your Son. We ask, O God, that you'd help us to have a heart for the lost. God, may we be a people on mission with God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.